Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
GR550.com Sports Update.
All right. Blues goalie will avoid arbitration after agreeing to a two-year deal with an AAV. That's an annual average value of $4.4 million. St. Louis Blues on Saturday. Binnington made his first career start on January 7th and is now worth $8.8 million. He went 24-5-1 in the regular season with a 1.89 goals against average, 9.27 save percentage with 5 shutouts. He went 16-10 in 26 Stanley Cup playoff games and became the first rookie goaltender in league history to record 16 wins in a single postseason. Number one pick in the 2019 NHL draft, center Jack Hughes signed a three-year entry-level contract with the Devils on Friday. That has an AAV of $9.25. Hughes led the USA Hockey National Development Team, under-18 team, with 112 points in 50 games. It was reported that this morning the 49ers and kicker Robbie Gould agreed to a four-year contract worth $19 million. With the first 2 years fully guaranteed. The 4.75 per year average makes him the second highest paid kicker in the NFL. Former Titans linebacker Derek Morgan announced his retirement after 9 seasons with Tennessee. The number 16 overall pick in 2010, Morgan spent his entire career with the Titans, compiling 305 tackles, 44 and a half sacks, 26 passes defended, and 5 forced fumbles. The women's single final at Wimbledon took place Saturday. Simone Halep won her first championship at the All England Club and denied Serena Williams of her 24th Grand Slam title. And Novak Djokovic outlasted Roger Federer in an epic, and I mean epic, five-set match, winning the first 5th-set tiebreaker in Wimbledon men's final at 4 hours and 57 minutes, so just under 5 hours back over the instigators. Waiting on Rennie Robert, and while we do that, today is National Give Something Away Day, which is fitting as we're at the unit's blood drive. There's my water. I got one right here.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll take it back
though.
Then.
Yeah. National Give Something Away Day. So how about give away some blood? We are at the unit's golf tournament down at, is it down or up or over at Fox Valley
Club? Depends where you're coming from.
Depends where you're coming from. That's right. But you can get there from here.
You're
That's
from
all
up north, eh?
I am not. We the north, eh? National I Love Horses Day. Speaking of horses.
What have I missed?
Did you see what happened at the Calgary Stampede?
Oh, I don't want to know.
You don't want to know. You don't want to know.
That's
sad state of affairs over there. I think a few horses died in
Chuckwagon.
It's the National Pet Fire Safety Day and National Tapioca Pudding Day. Are you a tapioca guy?
Never was.
On this day in 2006, our lives changed, Duffer.
This day, 2006.
On this day in 2006, our lives changed. I'll tell you why at 11.
Yeah,
I'll tell you why at 11:30. Is that a tease?
That's a great tease.
Because it did
because
change.
Because
if
you were talking about like,
I'd say hundreds of millions of people's lives changed on this day.
In 06.
In 2000, it wasn't because the Sabres were on pace to win the President's Trophy.
No, and it wasn't 07 and the disappointment of that month of July. And it's not Live Aid because that's 34 years ago.
Well, you brought up Live Aid the other day, too. Live Aid was, that's huge. We're big music guys. You're a huge music guy. I mean,
I'm just saddened that my recall of it, despite I know my obsession with it at the moment, and I would have been like 14 or 13 or something like that, it's just not vivid what I actually got to see of Live Aid. And I'm not going to bore people with it other than the fact that what I do love about social media is when they can still help, you know, artists rise to prominence all these years later. Not that it needed any more of a push, but, I mean, Freddie Mercury and Queen just dominated on the world stage for a 20-minute window, and it's nice to see snippets of that from Live Aid in 84.
Where were you?
have been home in Whitby, Ontario.
How old
probably
you,
watching
how old
on Much Music.
Been?
84, so I would have probably just turned 13. Yeah. So the MTV Much Music world, you know, was just, you know, we were, I mean, Africa, and I mean, it's still, obviously, poverty reigns in so many places, but it was to address famine, you know, around the world, and Live Aid was just a huge part of it. Bob Geldof behind it, and literally, I mean, you talk about major recording acts taking part and lending their time, like, I know we live in a festival environment, which is great because you can travel across the country or the world on any given weekend seemingly and find 20, 30, 40 incredible acts all in one place. Like I remember when Lollapalooza seemed like the only thing of its kind. But now it's Lollapalooza on steroids everywhere,
yeah,
all the time, which is great.
Starstock.
Sure, that was a huge
Star
one.
Starstock in Toronto.
Yeah, that was a massive one too. But I mean, Coachella, all the rest. I mean, it's never ending, which is great. You know, because it means that the concert business is alive and well.
Well, you know what? Bohemian Rhapsody, obviously we know what that movie is and
right,
and how iconic they at least made everyone aware of Freddie Mercury's performance there.
Yeah.
I mean, like you said, it was 80, 84, 85. I don't know. But all I know is I was too young.
Or 85. Is that right?
Too young.
Yeah, it was 34 years.
I was,
so it was
too
85,
young
pardon me,
to
yeah,
know what, you know, what sure, it was or why it was happening. So now I, you know, and then as you mentioned, all those other concerts that have been on since. Mm-hmm. So you look back and then it makes you go back and get the history of the concert and not even so much why, because, you know, that's pretty that's pretty evident in the story and all the, in the movie and everything. And, mm-hmm, but the acts that were going on and how you mentioned earlier about how they had the link.
Yeah.
So that Bryan Adams was on. At
or vice, yeah,
or
yeah,
vice versa.
Yeah, not necessarily,
you know?
Him, but yeah, you're right. Yeah, any of the, yeah, they were doing live via satellite from Philadelphia and from Wembley in London. It was pretty cool. I mean, again, now it's now it's not a big deal based on where technology is, but back then it was a pretty monumental feat for them to be able to sync up a concert across the pond and be able to display it on a big screen in a stadium full of people in London. So
here we go. Do you want to know
what
day that was? The day that changed our lives in 2000.
Yeah, of course. I was told
well,
to wait till 11:30.
We're waiting on Renny Robert.
11:30 came quick.
The big question for Renny is how much does he think he'd make if he were a free agent today,
yeah,
the year that he made?
Yeah.
There's Mr. Luce.
Yeah. I tweeted.
Legend of the defector story right there.
Yeah, just legend, period. You can leave it at that. That's what
well,
I
yes,
that's what I tweeted.
No,
that's what I retweeted
I
when
said the
he
defector story,
posted
but
the great photo of him and Rammer over the weekend. Like, legends, absolutely. And what a great picture, by the way. And does Rammer look good? Holy cow.
How many shorthanded goals? Eight. Eight in 1 year holds the Sabres record for most shorthanded goals in a single season.
That'll be eclipsed this season. That'll be my bold prediction.
There you go. What a way to upset, you know. Like, why would you do that? Why, like, you know, like,
I'm
some
trying
guys
to be
hang
optimistic
on to certain records.
Are you kidding? Nobody's going to surpass the career. Seriously.
Don Luce we're talking about, obviously. Don Luce drafted me.
There you go.
So
don't hold that against him.
Yes. Everyone out there listening, don't go hunt him down. And there he is.
Smitty.
Derek Smith. Son's name. We're on camera here, just so you, but you're welcome to fly in. Son's name is Magatu. Nickname is Magatu. He had the piano key tie. Nicknamed by who? The great J.P. Dumont. Nice to see you. Nice to see you. Hop in.
Welcome. Live television.
Hop in. Perfect. You want to hop in? Hop in. Derek Smith going to join us.
Which car did you roll up in today?
Not the one.
Not the one that
we're
you were
really.
We're
at the Units Golf Tournament, Danny Garin Friends Golf Tournament.
So did you play yesterday?
I did, yeah.
You must play with a good friend of mine, Mike Davis. I told him to say hi for you.
Yeah. Was he on the Camp Good Days team?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think
is he a goalie?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I think Adam Schein was probably your goalie,
yep,
right?
No, yeah. Adam's our captain.
Oh, your
but
captain?
Yeah, we had a goalie named Mike, too. But
how'd
yeah
you do?
Great.
No,
terrific. No, wow.
What's happening,
I mean,
here? You just
sore,
slide
not
in,
hurt.
Slide yeah in and take over, Smitty?
Sorry yeah about that.
Is that what's happening? Derek yeah Smith joins us on the show. Did you play skate at all? Have you skated at all lately?
I am completely retired.
Are you?
Yeah.
How's that feel?
Feels pretty good. Actually, a little tumble off the roof about 9 months ago, and that pretty much ended my career. So I'm
how's
on
your,
hold for
how's
now
your golf game, though?
It's just about as bad.
The analogy is your golf game is like tumbling off a roof.
Well, the tumbling off a roof might be better.
I don't want. Oh no.
No, it's been a struggle this year for some reason, but I'll get it back.
Good. You always do. You're a power of positive thinking guy. See, I was trying to be positive, you know, saying that maybe at some point soon somebody will eclipse Don Luce's team record of 8 shorthanded goals in a year. And the only reason that would even pop into my head, Petey, is because don't we marvel at the skill and the speed and the ability of the guys now? And when you start putting some of your elite players out there in shorthanded situations, anything can happen. There's a lot of room for those guys to do some magic. So,
and he did it with a straight stick.
Amazing.
Which is even more amazing.
Yeah.
Blade.
The Blade, yeah.
The Blade.
Blade's
here.
Blade.
He's here somewhere.
Yeah, he's straight ahead.
Aren't you talking about Don Luce? Is that who you're?
Yeah. Don't mind us. We're over here on air, and you're just in your little world.
I'm looking up Smitty's stats here, and I'm. Geez.
How do you not know them after all this time?
What do you mean? I mean, I want to know how much you'd be signing
for. One of my biggest supporters.
If you were a free agent in 79-80, everyone had a big year.
Sorry to inform you, he's on the contract revisiting tangent.
You're making at 63 points. You know,
more than a million, right?
Oh, you're coming off that. You know, you're going to sign a bridge deal, a 1-year deal, and then
not a Kevin LeBanc bridge deal.
No, you're going to get a nice bridge. You're going to sign a 1-year deal, and then you're going to go out and get 64 points in 69 games, and then you're going to sign for like $6.5 million for 8 years.
That would be all right. That would be all right. I didn't quite get there, but times have changed.
Times have. When you watch the game now, like, are you just saying what a difference the game is and where it's come from and how it's evolved?
I'm amazed how fast it is, especially the guys are so much bigger now, but they're still fast. I mean, that's the part that amazes me the most, the speed. When I go to a game and watch it live, I mean, I find it hard to believe that I actually was doing that at one time just because of the speed. So
I think visually the thing that looks most jarring to me is the difference in the goaltenders and how much net they take up. So when, or how little they maybe took up in your era. But, of course, when you're living in that era, you're not seeing it that way, right? Like, when you're living in the moment.
Yeah, were you guys complaining back then? Like, look at the goalie pads. This is outrageous.
Well, I think when I was playing, there was it Dryden that got fined or
called for illegal equipment? Illegal in
the pads are too big, right?
Yeah.
And can you imagine those pads compared to the ones today?
Right, yeah. But they actually, by the book, might have been technically a little bit wider than what you see nowadays, because now they're rigid. They can't expand.
Right.
But the old leather and whatever else was stuffed in it, that's the thing. Yeah. They could stuff it, and it would break, like it would kind of expand over the court, like, because it can get pushed and pressed out. And then, you know.
Yeah,
like,
it's all, and how heavy it would get.
Right,
I wonder why
they
never went down.
It is amazing
how
heavy they were.
Up.
Yeah.
But Dryden being the ultimate of that, you know, kind of stand up. Just the posture, right? Like, Dryden is known for his posture.
Yeah. Well, his pads look like they came right about here on him. Like,
so whereas tall. Garth Snow's came up to here.
That's right.
A lot more dirty little tricks, though, back when you guys played. Shaved blades, shaved handles.
Yeah, palms out of your gloves.
Palms out
of the gloves. How many guys did that?
I don't recall. I mean, mine were on occasion like that because they were worn out.
Yeah.
You know, you only used a pair a year. But, you know, for grabbing on and fighting and things like that. I mean, I was in nine pro fights, and I'm still looking for my first win. So I'm due for one. So that wasn't my forte.
You weren't winning with that stash, or were you?
No, look at the hair. Look at the hair.
That's great.
Hey, have you not seen his wife? He was winning with that.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
Thank you.
I didn't want to say that. He can say that. I
beautiful people. One of the greatest families we were lucky to be able to enjoy here in Western New York.
You know, so you turn your career here. You stay in Buffalo. Now your kids are involved in hockey.
Yeah. Corey, the oldest, is in with Barry Trotz on the island and loving it. And then Kyle's involved with the Sabres organization also. And then my middle guy, works for a peddling beer. He's got an area from Albany all the way to Buffalo. So he's doing a little traveling, but he's doing well too.
Good business.
Yeah.
And there, what's Trotz like from someone on the inside? And Lou, based on your experiences with Corey and you know, under Lou and all that, does it seem like Lou's loosened up a little bit?
I don't know. I mean, I got I was lucky enough to get invited on the father's trip this year, which was a great experience. And I was very impressed with Trotz because I'd never met him before. And Lou, too. I mean, he's I wasn't too involved with – I didn't see him that much. But Corey loves him, and he loves the whole what's going on there. And I think it's similar to what's going to be going on here pretty soon, too.
I think the goaltending was huge. Questions going on there around the free agency with Leonard and then Varlamov. I get the M and the L always mixed up.
You have trouble saying that name, right?
That one I do. I'm not.
Was that the first father's trip you were on?
Yes.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Wow.
And that was great.
Wow. Good for you.
Where'd you go?
I went to Boston and New Jersey.
Oh.
And then 2 days later, we played in New Jersey. We lost the one in Boston, but they won in overtime in New Jersey.
Did the dads stay where the players stayed?
Yeah, we all stayed in the same hotel. I went to all the coaches' meetings. I went to all the players' meetings, and they speak another language when you get in those meetings. I didn't understand a word they were saying.
Well, yeah, okay, so tell me that. I mean, that's all goes along with that question I was asking about the game changing and everything. Yeah. I mean, because you were meetings back when you guys – we're playing the same kind of prep. Like, what time would you guys get to the rink for a game? Because, you know, that's 2 hours now, if not earlier.
Our normal day, we would be at the rink, like on an off day, we'd be at the rink at 9:30, and we'd be having lunch at noon. That was our day. Day of a game, you'd go in for a skate, and then we'd probably get to the rink like 2 hours before the game. We didn't have many meetings. I mean, Roger Nielsen brought the video part of it into it. And statistics, like you knew how many face-offs you took, but before that, nothing.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It's changed completely. I mean, I was impressed how prepared these teams are now, but with the video and the statistics and all that, it's amazing.
So, did you take in any, like, I know you were on the trip, but how often were you in New York, and did you revisit the now refurbished Coliseum?
The only game I saw in New York was at the Barclays Center.
Okay.
So I never got a chance to get the Coliseum. I was hoping to.
Yeah.
Hopefully in the playoffs, but they got beat out. So.
Right.
You think we ever see a day where they're back there full time?
Because they're trying to build at Belmont, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I would doubt it, but
I think that single. I personally, just from watching the playoffs, I think changing arenas. I think it affected them in the playoffs.
I think they think it did, too, to a certain extent. I mean, from what Corey was saying, I mean, the atmosphere in the Coliseum was second to none. I mean,
yeah.
It was incredible.
And that was Pittsburgh. I mean, it was just, you know, it's a heightened rivalry and matchup. I mean, it was almost the perfect storm for the Islanders to take advantage of that in that first round, and they did. I struggle talking to you about that building. Because of the era that you played in, like I'm finding it strangely ironic that, you know, your first trip, your first dad's trip was, you know, with your son as part of the Islanders organization. I mean, the Islanders, for, you know, the younger Sabre fans that just don't know that era. I mean, for as great as your team was in the mid 70s to early 80s, it was always the Islanders that presented the greatest challenge. Hence, the Islanders go on to start a dynasty.
Yeah, they did.
You talk about the Islanders. We got a head to break here, but. I mean, you played with Bill Stewart.
Oh, no. It all comes full circle.
That's right.
Hey, we just talking about Bill Stewart.
from Barrie, Ontario?
That's the one.
Toronto, Barrie, all the same.
Yeah.
But he was the coach for the Oshawa Generals when I was drafted there, but he never coached me because he went to the Islanders.
Wow.
We were just talking about how randomly Bill Stewart's name came up at the start of the show because when he was coaching junior back in was he with the Barrie Colts?
Yeah,
that's
right.
He put the Russian player under the bus.
He had a little mishap at the border, I think.
That was the one.
All right.
The hockey world is so small.
No doubt.
It's not the worst thing that anyone's done, eh? So, yeah, Bill Stewart. Oh, man. He drafted me. What an intimidating guy. He was in that meeting. I mean, I sat there with Wayne Daniels from the Oshawa Generals and Bill Stewart and a couple other people, and he just kept getting up to go and cut a piece of cheese and pepperoni and come back and kind of eat it slowly in front of me. And are you in shape? I said, yeah, I think I'm in pretty good shape. He said, we draft you tomorrow. We got a fitness test in a week. we're going to see if you're in shape. They drafted me, and I went there.
And?
Were you in shape? I wasn't in that great shape. All right. But you know who's in great shape? You are.
Oh, thank you.
You look great. Are you working out?
A little bit, yeah. Just trying to stay even.
Just trying to stay even.
That's my goal now, stay even.
I love coming to your defense in that game against the cops when that guy slew-footed you. Do you remember that?
I do.
All right. Don't ever forget that. Derek Smith, kind enough to join us here at the Danny Garrett
Thank
Garrett
you very
Prince.
Much.
Enjoy the day, Smitty.
Thanks for coming in. Say hi to the Thanks, family Pete. For us, please. All right. Hold on. Don't go anywhere yet. We'll be right back. Instigators, maybe with Rennie Bobby, maybe not. How much would Rennie Robert have been making in today's today? I'd say 10 to 12 and a half.
He was a very good player. He was and all around. Great shot.
He goes to arbitration, though. GM says, can't do it without Rico and Gilbert. We're only giving you 5.5.
I think I know what the answer would have been.
We'll find out if we can ever find him. All right. Maybe he's dodging the question. I think that's it. All right. We shall return. Instigators, WGR 550 and MSG. We're at the Fox Valley Club for the Danny Garrett and Friends Golf Tournament. Also, it's the Units Golf Tournament. See you in a few minutes.
We're back with more of the Instigators with Andrew Peters and Craig Rabe.
Welcome back. I'm Han Solo right now, or Obi-Wan Kenobi. But only for a second, because we're about to be joined. We're at the Units Danny Garrett Friends Golf Tournament at Fox Valley Club, and it's starting to fill up with all the participants. And one of them, it's not Danny Gare.
You can call him Sabres royalty.
This is true. This doesn't wear
Other
his
way.
Crown. He doesn't wear his crown around town. Why don't you beat up on that microphone a little bit more?
It's radio.
There he is.
The radio audience loves
the
that.
Man who, the man who brought... Can I ask you a question? Did you draft me?
Yes, I did.
Have you apologized for that?
Yes, this is your opportunity. I'm giving you the floor to apologize. Do you know what I've had to deal with? Can I tell you?
Sure.
We traded LaFontaine for Peters. You know I would have been there at 48, Donnie, if you had waited till 48. You could have done that to Millie
We had two picks.
Kristic. Three.
Three. Well, three in that round.
Dimitri
yep.
Kristic? Is that what
Dimitri,
you just said?
Is it Dimitri yeah. Kristic? Yeah. Yaroslav Kristic.
No. Sorry. Yeah.
Not Dimitri Kristic.
No.
A better one.
Yeah. So how are you?
Don Luce, so far, ladies and gentlemen. This is
Don
awesome.
Don Luce. And the modern day, how many people stop you and talk to you about the Alexander Mogilny thing? Because that's been a huge story in the last couple of years because it was just, what, the 25th year or something of it?
It was 89 when it came.
89. So.
A little longer than 25.
So a little longer. But, I mean, when that big piece came out, the defector, and you were doing back then, there was a big honoring
of
it.
Yeah, we did a documentary about it, yeah.
Are you surprised he's not in the Hall of Fame?
Oh, yeah, he should be. But, you know, Alex is not into awards and things like that. It's just not him, mm-hmm. you know. I think he's just not into it. He just... maybe doesn't want to make the trip over. I don't know.
that's more likely. I heard he's probably liking the sour cream on his steaks over there. We lived with you guys, didn't he?
Yep.
Rip Simonic told me that he got right into the sour cream when he got over here. He never had sour cream when he was over in Russia, and all of a sudden he was pounding it on everything.
Oh, yeah. Yep, he did, but he worked hard. Like when he was at our house, he would go out and skip rope in the back porch for an hour straight.
That's because you made him?
No,
Just the Russian way?
Just the Russian way.
Okay. Tell me this. What do you miss most about the playing days?
The teammates.
You think the game's changed a lot?
Yeah.
You think the team concept is still the same from what it used to?
You need to have good chemistry to win. You can have a lot of talent, but if you don't have good chemistry, you're not going to win.
How did the Blues do it?
Chemistry.
How does it click in halfway through?
Well, I think part of it had to do with the coaching. Yeah. I work with Craig Berube in
Philly.
In Philly, and I told a number of NHL GMs that they should hire this guy, and none of them listened. But you know, he's a player's coach. He gets the best out of the players, and he brings them together. You know.
But correct me if I'm wrong, and I don't want to share too much. But you kind of told me how he evolved too, off air not long ago, and and I think that's pretty remarkable, because I think we can all be labeled a certain way within the game, right? You forge your career one way as a player, you get into coaching, you're a certain way, but the way you painted the picture, Craig's a guy who really opened his eyes to how can you pull everybody together, and that's pretty impressive. It's another reason to like why the Blues had that success.
Absolutely, yeah. He was, you know, he was a tough guy when he played and stuff, and but he was really open to anything that would make him a better coach.
What did he do? What things would he change?
What would he change? Well, most coaches, if they're ex-players, they tend to coach the way they've been coaching, the way they've been coached. And so, you know, if they're on, say, a Stanley Cup team, so they coach that way, so they tend to do that. I think Craig was more open to listening to how important getting to know your players, the mental part of the game, and things like that, and how people learn. Like, you know, all players don't learn by being told to do something. You know, some are visual, some are audio. Some you have to write it down. Some you have to actually take them and guide them through the process. And I don't think a lot of coaches realize that, because I'm sure you've had it happen to you. You know, the coach has told a guy, I've told that guy 1,000 times. No, he's dumb. He doesn't get it. He might be the smartest guy in the team because he doesn't get it by being told. He's got to see it. He's got to write it down, or, you know, you got to take him through it. So, you know, all people, not only just athletes, we learn different ways. And if you're not open to finding out how a player learns, then it's going to be a lot tougher to get through to that
player.
Well,
wouldn't that require communication between the coach and the player? Which is probably very different back from when you played, even when I started to come into the league.
Oh, yeah, totally different, yeah. Yeah.
But that's also, and I think why you telling me that not too long ago kind of resonated for this market was because I think people are excited about how Ralph Krueger has entered the marketplace and what people expect now on the limited knowledge they have of him as to how he may go about trying to connect with all the players. And I'm excited about that, but I was really fascinated to hear about how Berube just evolved. And that's what the game is. That's what life is, like you say, but it's also what the game is, and you have to find ways to connect, and boy, did they ever. It was great.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you got to put players in their role. Some you know, players think that they're on a second-line player, and they might be on a third line, mm-hmm. and they don't understand it. So if you don't communicate and get the reason why he's on the third line and tell him how he helps the team and so forth and get him to understand that his role is just as important, mm-hmm. then you're never going to get him to play his best.
Let me ask you this. We're joined right now with Don Luce here at the Danny Gare and Friends Golf Tournament, the Units Golf Tournament. Obviously, their slogan, Donate Life, and we're at the Fox Valley Club. Only a few more minutes here before we have to go to break. We've talked so much about how the game today is so different from back when you played. How is it similar? How is it still the same?
You got to score goals to win.
Oh.
From one of the great two-way players. Isn't that a great statement, though? I mean, that's, you know, that's...
Well, yeah, the basics are there. It's just that the different rules have changed the game. You know, speed was important before, you know, and they say everybody's skating faster. I don't really agree with that. I don't think they're that much faster. It just might be training, but... Other than that, the rules allow them to skate faster. You know, the tag-up rule.
Right.
Before, you couldn't tag up. You had to get out and wait till everybody's out, then go back in. So you're not moving. Now you just keep circling around and go with speed.
Mm-hmm. Do you like that?
No. It takes skill out of the game.
The red line?
No, the tag-up rule.
The tag-up rule.
It takes skill out of the game. Before, you could, if the puck's in the offensive zone and it comes out, now that defenseman has to wait till everybody's out. So now he's got to back up, and yet now you can forecheck him in the neutral zone. So now he's got to have hockey sense to figure out, okay, I got to make this play, or I got to back up, mm-hmm. you know. And then if you forecheck him and he turns the puck over, you get a scoring chance. that's not in the game anymore. It doesn't happen.
Right.
It can't happen because he just stands there and you come at him 100 miles an hour, just shoots by you. It doesn't matter. So there's less skill for the defenseman. So, you know, speed is good, but you don't see the stick handling of the old days. You don't see the thinking of the game as much. You know, the defensemen don't have to think in the neutral zone. They have to think a little bit, but they don't have to think like they used to when they had to make a play before they got forechecked or they got an offside.
Or serve a pizza up the middle to some guy who's going to get train wrecked.
Right, yeah, exactly. And, you know, the long pass, it's how effective is it? You tip it in and chase it.
Yeah, I could do without that. I mean, I never loved the two-line offside. I mean, it was always kind of, you know, I always looked at it like, boy, it would be nice if he could allow that play to stand. It was good tape-to-tape play, guys on the fly, you know, whatever. But you're right. For the times that we wanted to see stretch pass lead to scoring, way too often it leads to stretch pass leads to tip into the zone and change.
Chase or change,
and it's like, oh, my gosh.
Exactly.
Just stop already. Like, it's just – it's terrible.
Well, what that did, it moved the trap from the neutral zone back to the defensive zone, so Everybody's back.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to let a guy stand at the far blue line by himself.
Exactly.
You got to back up. So now you take another guy out of the offensive zone to take care of that stretch pass. You know, in the old days, well before I played, the rule was – you couldn't pass or shoot the puck out of your own end. You had to stick handle out of your own end.
Wouldn't have been getting any ice time.
Well, it would put.
You would have been considering me in round 9.
Hey, where's that picture from the other day that you tweeted with you and Rammer, Craig Ramsey?
We were actually playing golf at Tantera.
He looks terrific. How's he doing?
He's doing great.
Awesome.
Yeah, he's doing great. He's going back to Slovakia. He was nominated Coach of the Year there.
Shocker, huh?
Yep.
Like, just such a smart guy.
Yep. Oh, yep.
Incredible.
Absolutely. Yeah. He likes playing golf too.
You sent out. You're big on Twitter, and that's what I was going to say, Duffer. On this day in 2006, Twitter was launched. Our lives changed. Twitter was launched.
Took me about 5 to 6 years to be impacted by that change.
Well, that was 06, so I think I got in at 12, 13, somewhere in there. So, yeah, about the same.
Yeah.
You're active on Twitter. I saw a great picture.
He's awesome on Twitter.
Yeah.
I love it.
You tweeted out a great picture. It was you, Derek Smith, Danny Guerin, his tippy toes.
That's right. Playing tennis.
Yeah. Speaking of tennis, did you catch Wimbledon yesterday?
No, I didn't.
What? Thought for sure you'd be watching.
I was up in London visiting my grandson.
Priorities. All right.
I like it.
Yeah.
He's always had them.
Yes, he has. We have to go to break. Would you join us again? Would you come out to the studio in Orchard Park and
Shoot
the breeze with us one day?
Anytime.
Love to have it. Don Luce.
Tell you what, why don't you do it the week of August 12th to 16th?
I'm off that week. I think that's a great week.
I need I need a co-host.
Perfect. Oh.
I think that's a great week. Look for Don Luce between the 12th and the 16th. We'll be back. You can hear all the nightmare stories and the battles about the 34th pick in 98. We're taking Peters. Donnie, your job's on the line here. All right. We'll be back. WGR 550 and MSG.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hockey talk that hits. This is The Instigators with Andrew Peters and Craig Rabe.
Okay, we only have a few minutes. Got to get our buy-sell trade in here presented by Buffalo Sports. Go to Buffalo Sports where you can buy, sell, and trade new and used sports equipment. Aaron Portsline. Many teams have spoken with Marner's agent about a possible offer sheet. And yes, Columbus Blue Jackets are among them, but I see no indication Marner wants to leave Toronto Maple Leafs. So, buy, sell, trade. Marner would sign an offer sheet with the Blue Jackets. I'm going to give you all the time here, Duffer. I'm going to say sell. He would take less money to stay in Toronto all day, every day, than go to Columbus.
Sell. he would take less money all day, every day to stay in Toronto.
Well, now we have a minute here, so we're really in a lot of trouble to fill some air.
Have you ever had trouble filling air?
Well, I've been told that 7 seconds is an awkward pause, so that buys you 6 seconds to come up with something. And I'm normally a pretty quick thinker. I can think of something. Why?
I'm just wondering how your game is likely to be today.
There won't be one. I'm going to stand on the tee box with Danny Gare on 12, have some snacks, chat with some people, let my son chip and putt, and hit the road.
You really have fallen into the elite celebrity category. Like,
no.
So high up, you don't even have to play anymore.
No, you know
like
what it is?
Like, you're
in
just
fact,
there.
It's the exact opposite.
And people
it's
are the, literally going hole to hole just to get to you.
It's the letdown category that I don't know. Everyone knows that they shouldn't golf with me because I don't play. I don't hit the ball when I play. I just sit in the cart and talk.
Really?
That's it. I play some music. Might putt a couple shots. But that's about it.
All right.
I think Marner's going to stay a leaf. I'm on 12. Are you going to be out there?
Oh, yeah.
What hole do you start on?
No idea. Haven't registered yet. Been here working. Working.
We call this work. We are enjoying ourselves down here at the Units Golf Outing. Danny Gare and friends, we're going to let you go. One Bills Live next. Are you here tomorrow?
I was not invited.
Dufferin tomorrow? Yeah, you can come if you want to. If not, thank you for your tenure.
I think I have a meeting I have to be a part of.
All right. We'll be back tomorrow. I think Marty's in. See you then.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh, oh. O'Reilly Auto Parts.